Thanks for joining me again on Legacy Game Changers. This is episode 3. I'm your host, Annetta Rogers, accountant, tax preparer, financial educator, certified money coach, and travel agent. Today, my guest is Curtis May, and we'll be discussing prosperity economics. Curtis May built a financial advising company that offers a wide pool of knowledge for clients who have the desire not just to invest on or organize their money, but to enjoy it now. His business follows the prosperity economics model that is focused on lifelong learning and alternative investment options. Curtis has been in business since 1985 and has 20 years commitment to the industry, giving him hands-on experience that clients and advisors both can utilize. How are you today, Curtis?
I'm doing great, Annetta. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Fine. Is there anything else you want to add that I did not mention?
I'm a father of 3 daughters, and that's what makes me work very hard. I always tell people I got my license in financial services, and I realized that nobody was looking for 5'11" shooting guards. So I need a new dream, and that's what got me into this industry. So.
All right, great. So what is prosperity economics?
Well, prosperity economics is really a methodology of what I like to call principles-based planning. And, you know, when you look at money or in anything, really, there's principles, there's strategies, and there's tactics, right? And so most people are tactical. People will come to me and say, what should I invest in? And, and they're looking for some product to save them. That's a tactic. So every now and then they'll have a strategy, but they don't really have any principles. So prosperity economics is a set of principles that kind of guide your thoughts and give you a filter for whether or not, this is something you should be looking at. And so we kind of fit that and like typical financial planning together. You know, so for example, prosperity economics pursues wants and dreams and is based on unlimited ideas of what is possible. It optimizes opportunities, you know, on like what else can I build. We focus on things like thinking for yourself, not waiting for people to tell you what to think, where typical financial planning is more product oriented, you know, focused on rate of return. You know, it's all boiled up to what I call the accumulation theory. Right, which is buy and hold, dollar cost average, get out of debt. You'll hear things like asset allocation, tax-free retirement. And it's all based on the foundation that the stock market is the end-all be-all of everything. And what we focus on is what we call the velocity method, right? Velocity of money is a economic principle that talks about the movement of money and expanding your money supply. We talk about cash flow. We don't talk about rate of return or holding stuff for long periods of time. You know, what determines an asset from a liability is cash flow. So we focus on leverage. You know, if they tell you to get out of debt, well, there's good debt and bad debt. And so you really have to, it's a way of thinking. And it's principles that work, they're timeless. They have nothing to do with products. It's really more so about a philosophy and borrowing the philosophy of people that have created wealth for hundreds of years before us. Short answer, but that's prosperity economics.
What do you think are the biggest challenges business owners and families are facing?
Well, I think one is lack of access to capital, meaning they don't, if you came out your door and somebody had slashed all 4 of your tires, that would be a problem, you know, for most people. And so they would not be able to deal with that problem without going into debt. And so they don't have any money because they don't save. And I think that's the biggest one. And then the other one I think is lack of cash flow management. They don't really pay attention to what comes in and what goes out. And if they do, they budget, which is looking at history rather than forecast, which is understanding when money hits your account, you direct it where you want to go and pay yourself first. So those are lack of cash flow management and lack, because you don't save, you don't have any money. And so And they are following the accumulation theory. So those are the biggest problems, because that theory, that's why it's a theory. You'd be hard pressed to find people that you know, max out their 401k can live off of that forever.
You keep talking about the accumulation theory. What's the difference between the accumulation theory and the philosophy of money strategy?
So a big one. So accumulation teaches you to buy and hold. It focuses on the magic of compound interest. You know, people talk about the rule of 72, and its foundation is let's say, for example, just to pick an index, the S&P. And so I'm not saying you shouldn't do this stuff, but most people think they're speculating, right? And what you want to do is, we like to build on certainty, things that have guarantees, because the difference with the velocity method is that we talk about our three rules of investing, and investing is not about buying something. It's about becoming something. It's about becoming an expert. You know, with Prosper Economics or the velocity method, you want control. See, so if you're an expert and you're investing in what you know and you have control, that is the key to, you know, to getting ahead financially. And, you know, the third rule is don't chase returns. So most people are chasing returns. Oh, I heard Bitcoin is going up. Oh, I'm gonna do Forex. Oh, you know, let me get this stock. And that's the difference. Whereas velocity is, listens to watch a Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful on that show always wants to know what. He says, if I give you 250,000 or whatever the number is, he says, what's he want to know? How soon can I get my money back? Because if he gets his money back, if you got your money back out the deal, how much of your money is at risk?
None.
Okay. And so now, but is that deal throwing off cash flow? Yes. Well, so now what does he do with that money? He puts into something else and he gets his money back. You're always minimizing your risk and moving it into another asset to generate new cash flow. That's velocity. And so the problem is, institutions, that's what they do with our money, but that's not what they teach us. So everything that we're taught gives them our money to make money off of our money. And the difference is, those rules work in personal finance, but they're not taught.
Is that why you think the typical financial advisor is doing more harm than good to most people?
Yeah, I mean, I think not on purpose. They're good people, mm-hmm. and you only know what you know. Right, you only know what you've been trained on. So it's not like it's a big conspiracy out there from the people that you know are. So don't walk up to them and punch them in the mouth. I mean, they're.
Yeah, well, I know I used to be right. with Prime America, they were saying, mm-hmm. you know, buy a term and invest direct. But I don't mm-hmm. believe in that anymore.
Yeah, look, me either. I was there for 12 years, and they're great people. And, you know, they've done some good stuff, and they'll get you to a point. But the problem is, it really doesn't work, because if you're like betting on the stock market, I ask people all the time, on a scale of 1 to 10, can you rate your knowledge of what you understand about the stock market? What do you think most people's answer is? Like a one, right? One, two, three. And so, but yet 90% of your money's there, and you couldn't name a stock, the name of the person that's managing the money, and possibly even fund. So you're hoping that somehow you just going to bury your head in the sand and somehow you're going to be all right. That is a recipe for failure. That doesn't even sound right when you say it out loud. Okay. And so but the thing is, you've got, because everybody wants an easy button. See, nobody really wants to think. They think it's too complicated. And Wall Street has done a good job of making you think it's complicated. And so all of their marketing, in so many words, basically says, give your money to us.
Well, we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more, Curtis.
When you leave your business, do you leave the door unlocked? When facing legal matters in the business world, do not leave your business unprotected. There is help when it comes to business contracting, even collecting past due receivables from clients. An experienced attorney is critical to resolving disputes. Don't do it alone.
At SJS Law Firm, their mission is to partner with clients to help them achieve the business of their dreams and plans with timely and strategic legal advice. Their legal counselors and advisors committed, providing individualized service that is tailored to the unique needs of your business. SJS Law Firm provides the legal support you need to move forward with confidence. Secure the knowledge that you have a legal team watching out for your best interests. Don't leave the door open. Call SJS Law Firm, serving small business owners, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits. Call 202-505-5309. That's 202-505-5309. Or find them at the SJSLawFirm.com.
Hello, this is Vanetta Rogers. Join me on Wednesday at 5 p.m. for my new podcast, Legacy Game Changers. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., join me and we'll talk about finance, education, and wealth building for you and your family to leave a legacy for your loved ones. Once again, that's Legacy Game Changers, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Welcome back to Legacy Game Changer. I'm still with my guest, Curtis May. Curtis, what are the five principles of personal finance?
Okay, well, so going back to principle-based planning, so this is what we teach. So you got to have a foundation. And so the five principles of personal finance are: principle one of what we teach is saving. See, saving is the start of velocity, because you have to put money away in a liquid place. So our goal and what we strive to help people to do is save 15% of their gross, hear me now, gross income, okay? And at least, at a minimum, 15 to 20%. So you have to save money, and that's somewhere liquid, all right? And we help people, we help them capture that wealth in something we call a wealth coordination account, which is basically just a checking account that you separate from your regular bill pay money. So that's principle one, is saving. Principle two, then, is maximum protection. See, most people, which is not just insurance, but insurance is, you know, because you have to play defense. So people found out about principle two and principle four. I'm going to talk about the second behind the pandemic. But the concept of maximum protection is, I'll ask people, and so let's say, for example, if you had a crystal ball and you knew that you were going to be in an at-fault car accident tomorrow, and you only have minimum liability coverage on your car, meaning that if in Pennsylvania it's $15,000 for an accident, $30,000 if there's more than one person in a car to cover somebody's medical bills, but you're at fault, you've got significant assets, let's say you're a professional, you've got a house, you've got investments, whatever, and you or one of your children cause an at-fault accident, would you want, and so, you know, the maximum in our state is $100,000, $300,000, and $100,000 in property damage. So now, if you were to have that happen, would you want minimum coverage or maximum?
Maximum.
Maximum, right? And so we also look at, you know, things like disability or life insurance, or do you have your wills? You know, most people are underinsured. So if you take your, we talk about maximum protection, right? So what if you don't make it? A lot of people are under the false assumption that, you know, insurance is to bury you. And, or I'm going to leave a little bit, or they're really stupid and say, well, I don't want to leave anybody for anybody to fight, or nobody gave me anything. So if you say that to me in person, I might punch in them out. I'm just going to tell you. So I'm a bit intense. And so what happens is maximum protection is, you know, we call it human life value. So so let's say you're 40, you're 18 and 40, take your annual income, multiply it by 25. If you're between 41 and 50, multiply it by 20. If you're over 50, multiply it by 15. And if you're over 60, multiply it by 10, right? That is how much they'll give you. And so what happens is, what you want to be able to do is you want to make sure that you, which moves us in the principle three, which is full replacement of assets in the event that you were to pass away. So you want to, you know, because what happens is, like, you know, from where we both came from, they talk about the theory of decreasing responsibility, which is another word for self-insurance. And so there is no such thing. See, once you understand estate planning, you never not need insurance. Because what full replacement of assets using insurance is that money transfers to your loved one or loved ones tax-free. So what it really does is give you permission. So if you only got $500,000 saved up and you're trying to live on Social Security, maybe, Lord willing, you have a pension, then you're trying to scrimp. You can't live like you want to live because you're trying to make that money last. You're drawing out 3-4% of your money, but you could live like you want to live if you knew either one of you were passed away. Boom, you're going to leave $500,000, $2 million of tax-free money to replenish that bucket tax-free. So that's maximum protection, you know, defense, liability, making sure your wills are set up. So, you know, we kind of walk people through all of that, making sure you have proper medical and that set up right. And so you have to look at your insurance to make sure you're not overpaying, you know, disability. What's the definition of disability? So a lot of people don't know that. And they think they have coverage and they don't. Principle 4 is 6 to 12 months of liquidity, okay? And I mean savings. So when it goes, go back to one. When I say 15%, I don't mean your 401k. I mean in savings. Safe, liquid, you can use it, you have control, you don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops to get your money or sell shares. And so I want 3 months. 3 months of the 6 to 12 months is your emergency fund. And then everything over the 90 days we refer to as your opportunity fund. And so now you're looking for, this was takes you in the principle 5, things that create velocity, right? And cash flow. So we focus people on the liquidity, use your liquidity to buy or build cash flowing assets. And so when we talk about investing, you know, using velocity, what are you focused on? One is 4 asset classes: business, real estate, paper assets, and commodities, and gold, silver, oil and gas, that type of thing. And so what happens is what you want to do is principle 5 is focusing on assets that build cash flow. Why? Because the goal is to become financially free, which means that you can live like you want to live from the income from your personally invested assets. I'll give you a quick example, and then I'll stop talking so you can ask another question. So we had a person, I was going over her stuff. She's got her first investment property. I said, well, what's your goal? Well, I want to, she could tell me I want $8,000 a month. I said, well, your first goal is to, you know, become financially independent. So we looked, her income is like $40,000 a year. I said, well, you're netting about $400 on your rental property. If you had 10 of those, that would be $4,000 a month or $50,000 a year. Do you think you could buy 2 houses a year? I mean, and all you need is down payments, and I'm talking paying cash for the next 5 years. She goes, yes, I can do that. Okay, boom, there's your plan. And so everything we do with the 5 principles is the plan. So everybody wants to jump to principle 5, but they don't have their foundation set. And that's the problem. And that's why we start with the principles of people.
How can privatized banking create more velocity?
Good question. So private banking, what is banking? Banking is creating a pool of capital that you control that can move at cost to meet some needs you have. So the person that puts the money in the bank owns the bank. What we specialize in doing, in just to flesh it out, is using properly structured dividend paying whole life as a place to store cash. So I focus on really, how do you store your cash? Is the question I ask people. Where do you store your cash? Now, what happens is you using structured policies, right, that build up early cash value, you can collateralize your savings, meaning that you can use your money as collateral and insurance company loans you their money. So now here is how you increase velocity. So I had a client that had some, she bought some turnkey properties off somebody that was on our show, the Practical Wealth Show. And she put down 20%, you know, got $80,000 from the bank, and that generated her a cash flow of about $300 a month or so, but it was a 16-17% cash on cash return. All right. So now the third one she did, we had her banking system or her policy set up. She took a policy loan for the $20,000 for the down payment, and then she borrowed the 80% against, you know, to buy the house from the mortgage company. So now that's basically 100% financing. Yes. And so now she's still got like $300 something dollars a month cash flow. How much money of her money is in the deal. None. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's infinite return. She doesn't have any money in the deal. It's throwing off $300 a month of cash flow, and we're using that to replenish her fund. And so by any time you can be the bank, you create velocity, you create momentum, and it's like flying a plane with the wind at your back. You know, it creates a perpetual tailwind from everything that you do, because her money is still in the policy making money. It's in the house making money. It's earning interest, it's earning dividends, and it's insurance. So we've got $1 doing like 3, 4, 5 jobs at the same time. You know, we call that velocity through simultaneous use.
Okay, and what are the four components of the ideal financial plan?
So the four components are, when you think about money, see, most people are under the mistaken thought that the key to growing their money is to find better investments that pay a higher rate of return. But the only way to do that is to take more risk. So when we look at objective, you know, in making financial decisions, your first overall plan objective is, one, you want to build maximum wealth, right? And the only way to build maximum wealth is that you have to build maximum efficiency, which means that you've got to stop giving your money away. See, most people are trying to fill up a bucket that has holes in it. What is the holes? Debt, opportunity costs, taxes. And so, you know, the first thing you have to do to become more efficient is to keep more of what you make, which is the first thing that, you know, that we try to focus people on, not going rates of return. How can you lower your taxes? How can you eliminate your non-preferred debt? How can you manage your cash flow better? The second overall plan, objectives of the ideal plan, is to be able to enjoy and utilize all the wealth created today. So I'm not, you know what I mean? So you have to manage your, what I call your current lifestyle requirements with your future lifestyle requirements. But Curtis ain't the party pooper. I want you to live the best life you can today. Okay. I want you to go on vacation with your kids today. I do not believe in a deferred life like some people. You just, listen, you've got to prepare for it. And I said, well, look, if you can save 15-20% of your income, I don't care what you do with the rest of it. Okay, just put your money to work, make your money generate new cash flow. Don't spend all the new money, because your goal is to accelerate your plan. Okay, the third ideal part of a plan is to transfer of your wealth to the family. So I call it legacy, right? So leave a legacy of wealth and wisdom for the people that you care about and the charities that you care about. You know, we've got to support the institutions that are important to us and stop looking for some celebrity to give $50 million when why can't we give $100 a month? Okay, you got to take care of your own. And then the fourth thing is major. The plan has to work under all circumstances, right? So it has to be stress tested. So most people only have a plan that works when the market goes up. And so you can't have a plan that only works when the sun is shining. You have to, because the sun don't always shine, and markets can move up, markets move down, market moves sideways, right? And so your plan has to be able to protect and grow your wealth in all three of those, you know, things. You know, when it's storming, you still need to be protected and you still have the ability to grow. And so those are the four, you know, principles of an ideal plan.
Let me ask you something. Is the 401k still a good idea or a bad idea for our investors?
That's a good. I'm gonna let them answer it. So here's what the 401k plan does. 401k plan does two things. It defers taxes, and it defers the tax calculation. Right. So a better word for defer is postpone. And so one of the things I ask people: do you think in the future taxes will be higher, lower, or the same?
It's going to be higher.
Well, see, and most people say higher, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're deferred, can they think, well, you know, when I get 65, I'll be in a lower tax bracket. Taxes don't go down because you turn 65. Taxes don't go down if you're poor. So are you planning on being poor? That is the question, right? And then now, where are most people putting their money? They're putting money in, you know, the equities in the stock market. And so we already talked about what you know about the markets, but can do you have any control over the money going up or down?
No.
No. And you're saving monetary units called dollars because people are telling you to invest for the long term. But while you're saving those monetary units called dollars, what is happening to the value of those dollars every day, every year? They buy more or they buy less?
You're buying less.
They're buying less. So you're, because the Federal Reserve controls the currency, so even though you might see $1 million in your, you know, let's say in your account, well, let's say you're in a 30% tax bracket. So just take $300,000 off the top because that's the government's money that when you start getting it out, and then now that you got to look at inflation, what does that $1 million buy you? Have you been keeping up with inflation? So you're seeing numbers in the chart. So, you know, and you can't touch it without a penalty before 59.5. And then you've got a Goldilocks period between 59 and I think it raised it to 72, where you can get it out without a penalty. And then at 72, you must take it out or face a 50% excise tax. And because, you know, you're deferring your taxes, the government wants you to, they want to tax the, so here's the question I ask people. If you were a farmer, would you rather pay tax on the seed, save tax on the seed, I'm sorry, and then, no, save tax on the seed, but in the future, we're going to retax your harvest at the unknown tax rate, or would you rather pay tax on the seed and receive your harvest tax-free?
I'd rather pay tax on the seed.
Tax on the seed. And so what most people are doing is they do the former. They are saving tax on the seed, but they're letting the government tax your harvest down the road. So we... You know, so all of that, you're putting in fluctuating, volatile things, saving dollars that are going down in value and deferring taxes to that when they could go up. And then you're told to pay your house off and you might have sold your business if you have one and all that money comes out as ordinary income, which is the highest tax. So the best I'll let people do, and I'm not even locked in on this, but, you know, I don't tell people what to do. They're grown, right? I just want you to know how it works. And most of them don't know how it works. And so at the most that we'll let people do is we don't let people fund them past the match. If they match you, you put in 10%, they give you 4, then you drop that contribution to 4, and there's other more tax favored vehicles that you can put your money in where you can, you know, access your money without, because the tax have already been paid. Now you can access your money in the future without a future tax consequence. So that's my long answer, but that's rather than just, because you got to know why. So you can't just say they're good or bad. It's like, why are we saying that? And so I want people to understand, because I always tell people I'm the guide. I'm not, you know, I'm not here to tell you what to do. You're grown. And so, but I always tell people you're Luke and Leia. I'm a Star Wars guy, and I'm Obi-Wan or Yoda, right? I'm the guide.
Well,
call me Yoda.
You, thank you, Curtis. How can my audience reach you if they want more information on prosperity and economics?
Well, if you want more information like this, we also have a podcast. It's called the Practical Wealth Show that you can find on wherever you listen to podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, whatever. What's that? Spotify. We also have a YouTube channel that you can go to, and we the podcast goes there, but we also do lives on different things that are on my mind. And then also I have a book I give away called Financial Planning Has Failed by my mentor Kim Butler. The link is it's bit.ly/pwealth2. And I'll send you all the link. But they can or just go to my website and you can get to me there with the practicalwealthadvisors.com. But check out the show. Then you'll hear more of the madness that is Curtis. And you can see if I'm crazy or not.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on today. I would like to thank my audience for joining us today. You can reach me at legacygamechangers.com. You can email me at legacygamechanger@gmail.com or text me at 443-906-3882. Thanks again for joining me, and listen to me again next week.
Thanks, Annette. Thanks for having us on. I'm honored. And y'all call her. Y'all call her. She's doing some great stuff out there. And we've been following her career. So you make sure that you listen, you like her show, and you share it.